Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbleberg Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, you mob. You can text our brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And I'd like to acknowledge my mob, 1 year Gunga leader on my father's side, and that's mob up there, Dumaji, Mornington Island Way, and Burketown, big shout out. And my mother's side, my mother with me in spirit, Dunley Island, Erebor, the Sailor Pit mob, big shout out. Good morning to you all. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, out of the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Now, I had a beautiful call from Annie Gwen, D-Mail Hall, and talk about a young Nikita Sullen, who's a lawyer and First Nation Lawyer of the Year. She won the award at the Queensland Law Society and stems there from Mornington Island now. So big shout out. She's Mornington Island Justice Group CEO, and also big shout out to her beautiful mother, Delwyn Sullen, and also grandmother, Annie Marcel Murga. They're very good morning mob there at Yuri as well. So Nikita Sullen, too deadly, my sister, and reaching out to you. Going to catch up and have a yarn with you and talk about your beautiful win and the work that you do there up in Mornington Island. And look, leading from the front and being strong for your people and representing in the business world as well. Lawyer, First Nation Lawyer of the Year. How deadly is that? Having said Yarn Up Strong, let's go to deadly track here. I took the children away. Uncle Archie Roach with us in spirit. Beautiful track. Do enjoy.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our heed, set us up on mission aid, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. Wealth them in the Holy's name, said you've got to understand. We'll give to them what you can't give. Teach them how to really live. Teach them how to live their sin. Humiliated them instead. Taught them that and taught them this. And others taught them prejudice. Took the children away. The children away. Breaking their mother's heart, tearing us all apart, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham, came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took the stronger family, took us away. They took us away. Snatched from our mother's breast, said this is for the best, took us away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Took the children away. Uncle Archie wrote with us in spirit. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, your mob. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country. As BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So Yarn Up Strong and have your say, your mob. 1-800-422-416. Now, Australian War Memorial recognised Indigenous Vietnam veterans. New research from the Australian War Memorial has identified more than 250 Indigenous men and women who served for Australia during the Vietnam War. Researchers say it is important to recognise their sacrifice and service now, especially as Indigenous people faced major barriers to join the Australian Defence Force during the time. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Michael Bell, Australian War Memorial Indigenous Liaison Officer on the line. Michael, good morning. How are you? You there, Michael? Hello, Michael. We'll try and catch up with Michael Bell. He's an Indigenous Liaison Officer, Australian War Memorial Indigenous Organisation there, and just talk about that space, very important, about recognising the sacrifice and service that our beautiful First Nation people did for the Australian defence, and 250 Indigenous men and women who served. And back in the time, Vietnam War, fighting over there for Australia, fighting alongside non-Indigenous soldiers, and then come back and as a team, as one, but then come back and then pushed out in regards to the segregation. If you're black, stay back, so to speak. So, look, a very important move ahead, but a long time waiting. We are in the 21st century, and it's good to see the recognition and of their sacrifice and their service. But we'll try and get Michael Bell back on the line and discuss that yarn there. But have you saying Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Family, where would we be without them?
Where would we be without no family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you.
To my family, I never told you how much I love. Don't think I never place no object above you. You the one that makes me represent me. You brought me in this world, you really raised me right into this world, cause you my heart, you my soul. That's included my bros. Without my family, where would I be? I'll be standing in the corner in the middle of the street now. I understand the true meaning of a loving family. Check. Cause you my heart, you my soul. I treat you like gold, I never let you go. Never forget you. Even when you go,
where would we be without no family? The side of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you.
My family makes me meet the true definition of who I'm supposed to be. Taking a whole lot of time, but now I finally realize that I'll be nothing here without my family by my side. My life is based on how I grow to be a man. I'm meant to be and always gonna be my first priority, my family. So without my family, where would I be? I'll be standing in the corner in the middle of the street to take it. Follow on track, stay on track, strong to survive. I live like this, cause why? I'm happy as alive.
Where would we be without no family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me?
strong. They the ones that keep me going on. I take it wherever I go. True to my heart, no matter where I go. Strolling on, strolling on. I even want the one that's not here by my side. May peace be with you, family, true ties. I love you till the day that I die. Through the struggle, through the pain, through the strain. Down and out, happy and proud. Without you, my family, there would never be a me. There would never be a you. There would never be a we. Where would we be without no family?
Where would we be without no family? Beside of me, ever ready to ride with me. Through the darkest day, the hardest time, you were there for me. So I'll be there for you.
Yeah, Deadly Track, ZDC, featuring Aidan Brim here on your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. Now, if you need to call, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor 720, Trevor Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? As I mentioned earlier, Australian War Memorial recognised Indigenous Vietnam veterans. And the new research has found that from the Australian War Memorial has identified more than 250 Indigenous men and women who served for Australia during the Vietnam War. And it's important to recognise their sacrifice and service. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Michael Bell, Australian War Memorial Indigenous Liaison Officer. On the line, Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Well, thank you, Trevor. Thanks for having me to talk to your listeners today.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Brother Michael, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
My name's Michael Bell. I'm a Ngunnawal Gomeroi man. I'm the Indigenous liaison officer at Australian War Memorial. But I live in my traditional country of Yarr, which is just outside of Canberra, about an hour away. So I'm living here with on my traditional lands of my father.
Well, my brother, I say beautiful country, cold country. I'm up here in Cairns, far north of Queensland, brother.
Oh, no, I'm envious of you too, my brother, but that humidity up there is just too solid for me.
Yeah, I hear you, brother, Look, we're talking about a very important space here and long time waiting. The Australian War Memorial has identified more than 250 Indigenous men and women who served for Australia during the Vietnam War. And it's, well, of course, time to recognise, sacrifice their service. Back in the day, there was still discrimination when they came home, yes?
Oh, definitely. When they came home, it came home to an unequal society. Although it was getting better than our men in the Korean War and the Second World War and First World War, it was still starting to change because the Vietnam War took place over the transition from the 67 Yes referendum. So things were starting to change and get a little better for our people, but still the policies of the National Service and conscription still prohibited Aboriginal men from serving, or Aboriginality was an exemption from National Service. So it was the impact of the Yes vote and the change to recognise our people in the census hadn't quite kicked in all the way, and government was still trying to work out how to best manage our mob.
So here we are in the 21st century. Is it stronger now, the so-called recognition and to our First Nation soldiers in their sacrifice and service now? Is it stronger now, Michael?
Well, it's on the improve, is all I can say, is that I've got a lot of... We have a large commitment to identifying and recognising all service for this country to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across all the generations. But, and also a lot of state bodies are also doing the same. I know the Queensland State Library is doing a lot for the mob up that way to tell their stories through MARG. And there's a lot of interest in the area, but it's still got to make up for the errors of the past, and the policies and procedures that made it that way need to be acknowledged and rectified. And I think we are starting to move forward now with what's coming out of the government, we're yet to hear how that's going to progress. But at least they've started off saying they're going to do the right thing.
Well, exactly, and so they should. And we're talking about here we are living in a beautiful country, and thanks to our soldiers that fought to keep this country safe, there were black people with their guns as well.
That's exactly right. They get the there's a lot of misconceptions that we, because we weren't allowed to serve, that we didn't, because of the prohibitions in the Defence Act that stated that Aboriginal men or men of non-substantive European heritage or origin couldn't serve. Because it was thought that we weren't allowed, and we definitely weren't allowed, it was thought that we didn't, but we did. And a lot of our men who served in the First World War and Second World War, and even as far back as the Boer War, we're starting to recognise their sacrifice and service now, but it still doesn't make up for what society, that the unequal society that we lived in.
Yes.
But in a small way, if we can put the Indigenous face on the Anzac legend, we can start moving together, moving forward together. Because what I suspect is that our commonalities will bring us together.
Yes.
It's what makes us the same and makes us all Australians in this modern society.
Look, and we talk about the so-called treatment and of the First Nation Indigenous men and women who served. When they got back here, they weren't even let to go into the pub. They had to go through the back door. They had to go back on community, and they became second citizens as such, didn't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was they were deed, and we've got a lot of quotes saying that, you know, they've fought for rights that they weren't entitled to themselves, but yet they sacrificed their lives to for those rights that they weren't afforded themselves. Now, we've got examples of men coming back to stolen children because of their wages that they were sending back to the protector never got to the families, and so that circumstances of being equal in the service doesn't reflect in society, and the impact of that coming back is still being felt today by some of our families and the descendants of families who were removed because of the dad was away at war, fighting for war. Then they were taken away for neglect because the protector wasn't passing on the money that he was allocating, an allotment, they called. A married man with family, he had to pay 3/5 of his wage to his family to keep them going while he was at war. And that, a lot of that money never seen its way to the families that it was dedicated for. So all of those areas, we've got to find that a case-by-case basis.
Sure.
Because some...
Are we talking compensation to the family?
No, well, I'm not aware. That's out of my wheelhouse. Sure. They're my brother.
Sure, I hear you. That's a form of stolen wages, isn't it?
It could be connected to the stolen wages without too much of a stretch, I would believe. But I know that the Army did make reparations for the Torres Strait Islander brothers who weren't paid equally. And as a battalion, the only segregated battalion in ADF history, in I think it was the early 80s that they started to work to repay the men who were only on a 2/3 of the wage of an ordinary soldier.
Yes.
And that decision was welcomed by the community in the Torres Strait, and the recognition that it was wrong. They should never have not been paid equally. And I just add that was the only instance that Aboriginal men weren't paid equally was the Torres Strait Islander Line Infantry boys.
Yes.
The boys that were raised to defend the Torres Strait Island. But that has been rectified now, and they've got their due compensation, and also in that fight they recognised they also got their 1939-45 Pacific Star, which was not afforded to them in the first place because it was deemed that Torres Strait wasn't in an active battle zone. So that was all changed as well.
Well, here we are in the 21st century, and I think the Australian Defence would look at the amount of First Nation people who have signed up with the Defence, you know, whether it be Army, Navy or Air Force. The numbers are pretty strong.
Oh, without a doubt, the ADF have made it a concerted effort and are making a lot of pathways for our people to understand, to bring them in and utilise the skills that they best have.
Yes.
Especially up the top end there, you've got dedicated battalions where up to 60%, 60, 70% of the personnel in those units are of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander heritage. And I know just up the way from you fellas there, 51st Charlie Company, the Sarpai group, they've got... Nearly 100% of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander heritage, and it's welcomed. And I know that the Department of Defence or ADF have they've got a 5% aspirational goal to get Indigenous employment or recruitment up, and they've made a lot of pathways and understand culture and understand Aboriginality. They've gone a lot of lengths to through the reconciliation action plans and the like and employment strategies to bring our mob on.
Yeah, beautiful, brother. Look, thank you for the yarn, and look, it's great to see the recognition for Indigenous Vietnam Veterans Australian War Memorial, and a long time waiting. Look, fantastic, and thank you for your yarn, Michael, and keep doing what you do, my brother.
Not a problem, Trevor. I'd just like, before I go, I'd like to call out to your listeners to have a look at my website at australianwarmemorial.com.au. Look at the list, and if we missed your mob, give me an email and let me know, or text the War Memorial or contact me so that we can fix up that mistake, because we want to make sure we've got everyone. And if we, you know, we might have missed a brother or two here or there in a family, we might not have known that another one served. But if you look at my list, if your listeners look at my list, we can then improve it and make sure that we share the recognition to all of those that deserve it.
You too, dearly, my brother. Michael Bell, you take care. We'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Yalu.
Deadly yarn there. Michael Bell, Australian War Memorial Indigenous Liaison Officer, and talking about the Australian War Memorial, recognised Indigenous Vietnam veterans, and like I said, in about time, 250-odd Indigenous men and women who served for Australia during the Vietnam War, and their recognition of their sacrifice and their service should be recognised, and that it is. And to families, loved ones out there, prayers going out to you, mob. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap
on. Yo. Yo. Keep your head up high. It's all in the heart. One blood, one fire.
We're raised in a valley where our hearts run so free, 'cause the land will always be here for you and me. 'Cause it's time to stand with pride, so no matter what others say. So keep your head up high, 'cause there will always be another day.
The river where the rainforest meets the sea, in the far north, black fellows stand so free. Wujo wujo, young golden yelling you tried, but the TLs thrive.
Community that is split by stream, 'cause this is where my heart will always be. Streets and beats and families will always bring back happiness and memories. We'll always have our ups and downs, but for now it ain't really nothing to worry about.
So just chill with me and just bounce to the sound. You gotta make it count, 'cause this is how the valley gang break it down.
Now it's time for our people to stand as one. Nyungul and Yalanyi and many more to come. I want to dedicate this to our community. Wujal wujal, where the rainforest meets the sea.
We're raised in a valley where our hearts run so free, 'cause the land will always be here for you and me. 'Cause it's time to stand with pride, so no matter what others say. So keep your head up high, 'cause there will always be another day.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, as BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Oh, we're going to talk to Deadly Brother now. We go back a long way. Aboriginal dance theatre back in Sydney, Gary Lang, who's a Larrakia choreographer, and talk about his dance troupe, one dance collaboration, exploring ancient and modern beliefs about death. So that's a beautiful conversation on the line. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, G'day, how are you, Trevor? I'm very well, and yourself?
I'm good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Gary?
Hello, yeah, my name is Gary Lang. I'm a Larrakia man, and I have my extended family crossed right across to East Arnhem Land. Mm. But again, you know, like countrymen and that, we all have extended families.
We do.
You know, it's the length and breadth of how we relate to each other.
Yeah, we are connected in so many ways, my brother. Look, you and I go back a long way, back in the day, late 80s. You know, we were there before our walking stick. We were there with Aboriginal dance at AIDT. And so tell us about your journey. How long did you dance for? What happened thereafter, my brother? And now you're back home, Larrakia country. And now got your dance troupe up and running. So paint the picture there, please, my brother.
All right. Look, after NASA, I danced with three companies in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Bangarra,
yes.
AIDT, the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I travelled a lot extensively with AIDT under the artistic direction of Raymond Blanco. And then I went back to Bangarra and danced with Bangarra. And this is where, under the artistic direction of Stephen Page, and we did Ochres, and we travelled the world with that production.
Mm.
But again, with Raymond, AIDT, the company, we were like, we travelled extensively more at the time than what we did with Bangarra. Now Bangarra is the premier Indigenous dance company in Australia, so they're doing a lot of national and international tours.
Yes. And look, hats off to all our people who use dance as the vehicle to tell our story and share our culture. It's a beautiful way of doing it, isn't it? And you would, of course, agree, Mr. Choreographer.
Look, I'll let you know, like, before I was studied dance, I was a hairdresser, and that's something my mum said, get yourself a trade.
Yes.
And I auditioned when I was 21, so by the time I was, my first year, I was 22. I'm 61 now, and I'm still creating.
Yes.
Body might be broken now, but the mind is still active and creating.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. So tell us about one dance collaboration, Exploring Ancient and Modern Beliefs About Death.
Look, it's not about death, it's about the ceremony, or to helping the soul to travel.
Yeah, I love that description. Helping the soul to travel, yes.
Yes, because, like, within our own culture, there's a lot of ceremony that happens beforehand.
Mm.
And, you know, like, and you would understand that. And I think some of the, you know, First Nations people understand that. There's a lot of ceremony that went beforehand to help the soul to travel.
Mm.
And, that's basically in a nutshell. And through that, we had, out of RISE funding, out of last year and this year, we did a production last year called Forbidden, and this year is that Wang, a spirit.
Mm.
And we had, you know, the collaboration, and out of that RISE funding, we did, had worked with NASA Dance College, cross country. We had, in 2018, I did something with the WA Ballet, and one of the dancers, actually, he's not working with them anymore at the moment. He's he came up and was our rehearsal director. So, you know, we had people come from west, east, you know, work with, and especially people, family mob from Arnhem Land, Niku Dance Company, under the guidance and the direction of Rachel Wallace, a former dancer of NASA and also a former dancer of Bangarra. So, yeah, so she's got this beautiful troupe, and those dancers like Bonola Marika and Janet Munyadan were, you know, one of the founding members of Bangarra. And they came along, and again, you know, it's asking permission when I had to do that journey and going to family over in Yirrkala and talking to elders like Witiana Marika, so, and he's the elder of the Riditingal clan group, you know. So he's one of the men, like Bunala. So everything we did, especially with cultural stuff, we always ask permission to do things. What can we do, what we can't do, and getting their blessings. I know after having that blessings from them, I know the work is going to be beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. And like I said, your description of helping the soul to travel, and we use dance as a vehicle to, well, we dance and feel. Music and dance is a part of our culture and a part of our storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah, look, this is one thing, like, they're all intertwined with each other, dance, music and art, you know? And because it's the modern times now, everything is being separated, so that connection, it's still there, but it's,
yes,
people are placing things in areas where there's dance is one thing, music is another, and art is another. But every one of those three things are interconnected.
Mm.
And so I use dance, you know, and I call my work Aboriginal Ballet.
Aboriginal ballet. Aboriginal ballet.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Because as a contemporary Indigenous dancer, or a dancer that's stepping out of an ace, or any dancer, I think,
yes,
when you step out of a tertiary environment, you dance with companies, and then when you become a solo artist or creator, you wonder where you fit within the dance world of Australia, even within in the world.
Yes.
And out of my Australia Council dance board fellowship that I went over to Ochre's Contemporary Indigenous Dance Company over in WA, and I worked with Fleur Alders.
Mm.
And Fleur Alders' mother is Lucette Alders, one of the legends of the Australian Ballet. And she came in and she watched my work, and she turned around and said, she called me over after a week and she said, "Gary, your work isn't contemporary Aboriginal, it's Aboriginal ballet." And that resonated with me because I like the aesthetics of classical lines and ideas, you know? And but again, this journey of the soul, because, you know, like, we all have people, and going back to what you asked me, the question is, when someone passes, you know, we always wonder, are they safe?
Yes.
Has family come for them? And you hear them old people talk, you know, like, yeah, family coming to visit me, you know, when they're on their last leg, or, you know, they say, "Oh, someone's visiting, mum, dad visited me," you know, that's the thing. And you go, okay, they're ready to travel.
Yes.
But it was not exploring, but, well, my form of exploring about helping young people to, you know, come to terms with either a passing of something.
The next chapter.
Yeah, the next chapter. So it's not an end. It's another journey for that.
Another
person.
Journey, exactly. And we belong to that as First Nation people. We belong to that. We're spiritual people. And like I said, in the fact that you're using dance to educate, if not share, if not empower our First Nation people, you know, because culture's got to be front and centre. And we can live in both worlds with two feet in both camps, the modern world, but also our culture, which is 80,000 years old.
You know, my colour, my skin is a fair-skinned person, you know? So I do walk in two worlds, you know, like... Because I'll be straight out honest. If I went out bush now, I don't think I could survive, you know? I could only probably last 3 weeks, but I don't think I could last. So I try to work in that sense of where I am now and what I can draw on from the past or with family, extended families and all that sort of thing. And, I'm just being honest about
that. Yeah, beautiful. But you're still living life, and still strong. Your culture's strong within you, and you're still a dancer / choreographer, and you're using that as the tool in this space. Yes.
Cool. Another thing too, what we're talking about. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Like again, my grandmother helped. She helped me to deal with grief or sadness of a loss of a person. She said, you know, like, as in, when a soul is created to this world, like, there's tears of joy. So in the spirit world, there's tears of sadness because that soul is leaving that world to come to this world.
Yes.
And there's tears of joy. So what happens is when a soul leaves the physical being, there's tears of sadness, and when the soul travels through the veil, there's tears of joy because you're coming home.
So powerful, yes. Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, but I think it sounds really, I don't mean to sound morbid or anything, but
no.
I think it's trying to understand, look, I'm shit frightened of dying, but I hope it comes to the point where I go,
accept it, okay, and move on for the next chapter. Exactly. Yeah, you can travel. Yeah. Beautiful. Gary, how many how many people are in your dance troupe?
Look, because it's project-based, this time we had about 18 people on stage. We had worked in collaboration with the Darwin Symphony Orchestra,
yes,
Miku Dance Company, and NG Dance Company, which is my company.
Okay.
And there was 18. But normally just when I'm in, just creating stuff, my class goes between, or my main dancers go between 2 and 4 or 6 people in the room. And because everybody has to work, people are studying, so my core people will come on those nights when we're rehearsing or creating things.
Yeah. Keep their passion alive and regarding dance while paying the bills in the other hat they wear, is what you're saying.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, beautiful talking with you, my brother, and thank you very much for sharing. And so have you got a performance happening up there in Darwin, Larrakia country?
I'll finish Ribbon Perform It, that's all.
Okay,
Ribbon Dance It. But next year I'll have something happening.
Good.
The Other Side of Me.
Mm.
And that was stuff that, as an independent, I went over to England.
Yeah.
I was in Newcastle, and it was about stolen generations, about these boys that were taken from their families, literally taken away.
Mm.
And, yeah, there's a bit more behind it, but
sure.
I'm just working on finding information so I can make my work.
Yes, and put it into dance.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Great. Lovely. Well, I'm so excited to be yarning with you again, my brother.
All
the best. Love always, and you take care, and all the best to Larrakia and Mob Up That Way We're Darwin, brother.
Big loves to family. Yeah, I want to give. Can I send big loves to my sister Marilyn?
Yes. Here, beautiful.
And Alana and Dolores and Dijon. You know, these are people that have been in my life.
Exactly.
And beautiful. You too, my brother.
You too, my brother. Gary, you take care. All the best, brother.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful young Gary Lang, Larrakia choreographer, and talking about his space in regarding dance, and his company there, One Ear Dance Collaboration, explores ancient and modern beliefs about death. And so the next chapter and the description he used there was helping the soul to travel. And so spiritual, so beautiful, and a very powerful statement there. Have you seen Yana Strong? Had the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yagar farewell to the island. Mina sin yamun sagu. Kuniang almun lag piaye.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Lag Pai. That's Jesse Lloyd here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn is yours, truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. And coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to Annie Gwynn, Dima Hall, who rang earlier off air to talk about and congratulating young Nikita Sullen, First Nation Lawyer of the Year in the Queensland Law Society. Well, you wouldn't believe I have Nikita on the line. My sister, good morning. How are you? You there, Nikita? Shut up. I told everybody I got it on the line, but I haven't. Nikita, call me back. Must have heard that yarn with Annie Gwynn. And I believe her mother reached out. That's Nikita's mother, Delwyn Sullen. She reached out in regarding trying to get Nikita online and talk about her award-winning performance. And she also, I believe, is the CEO of Mornington Island Justice Group. So a very important role she plays there for the mob there, Mornington Island. But I said, be careful, an educated black person. And there it is, a highly educated black person in Nikita Sullen, our First Nation Lawyer of the Year. We'll try and get her back on the line and continue that yarn. It's your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. We'll try with Nikita. Nikita, you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, sister?
Oh, look, I'm still recovering from the weekend, but I'm fine.
Well, look, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, sis.
My name is Nikita Saleen. I'm from Yarrabar, Yidinji, and
Yeah, beautiful. And congratulations on your win. And so First Nation Lawyer of the Year, was that the award that you won?
Yes, that was I was in that award category.
Too deadly. I said, be careful of an educated black person. And there you are, my sister, right up there. And look, kicking goals. How did that all come about? You studied law not to win any awards. You studied to help your people and set your profession up as such. But it's good to get recognised. Hey, sis.
Oh, it's a really fantastic feeling. I didn't imagine winning an award or in that category. I started at James Cook University and worked. I got admitted and then just kept working and working and got me where I am now. Yeah.
So were you at high school thinking that you wanted to be a lawyer or you wanted to go to university and study? Tell us your thought process back when you were grade 12.
Oh, look, I didn't even study legal studies as one of my senior subjects. I didn't really know where I was heading, my direction. I had no idea I was going to become a lawyer. Mm. It's a blessing. I didn't really wanted to, study law or even become a lawyer. If you asked me that question when I was, year 12, I would have just lied and said, no ways.
No ways?
no ways that I'd be a lawyer now, So
when you signed up at university, was it all studies?
And then being at home and staying at home, mom, I was like, oh, this is boring. I need to do something. So I picked up one of those TAFE brochures with the courses on. And, I just pointed my finger at a course, which was Justice Step 4 and Justice Administration, and then that was a one year study, so it was full time, and that's when I got my Diploma of Justice Administration, and I'm like, oh my god, this is very interesting.
Yes.
I could, TAFE teacher at the time, Laurel Devine and Sue Maggs, they really encouraged me to continue further. There's university there you can go on to study Bachelor of Laws and become a lawyer. And I'm like, yeah, look, I might go and do that. But after I got my diploma and worked at Woodchopperin, I was in the CAFETS team. And
Woodchopperin,
I got my diploma. And then I was like, maybe I should enroll at James Cook University and study law. So with the support of, my family and friends, they're like, you can do it. I'm like, really? So I enrolled and I applied. I got accepted at James Cook University in Cairns, and then the rest is history.
You there, sister? I've lost her. We'll try and get her back online. That's Nikita Sullen, First Nation Lawyer of the Year with the Queensland Law Society. And she's just telling her story in regard to her studies and what have you. And, look, we got the call from Annie Gwen DML Hall. Just to make mention, she called from a call early this morning off air to talk about Nikita winning the winning that award. And Nikita's mum, Delwyn Sullen, rang us here after hearing that yarn. And so we're talking to her, but just lost her there. We'll try again with sister. You there, Nikita? Hello, you there, sis?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, lost you. No, I caught everything you were saying. You just couldn't hear me. But it looks fantastic. So there you are, the First Nation Lawyer of the Year. What hat do you wear in the job role?
So I'm working in Mornington Island currently. They had a legal centre there, community legal centre. So
yes.
I started off there 2 years ago, employed as a solicitor.
Mm.
And then I was then appointed as the CEO for the corporate Indigenous, the CLC, Community Legal Centre, and the corporation. So that's where I'm currently at. So I wear both hats, one being
yes.
the CEO
yes.
and one being the solicitor. So I do a bit of work on Mornington. We had a few estate matters, probate and that kind of stuff. And then I do legal representation on the island as well in court.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's where I'm currently at the moment. But you never know. I'm thinking of maybe expanding. I could do legal, in the defense,
yes.
maybe. Work in the defense in the legal sector. So, there's so many different opportunities out there.
Exactly. Go a mile, see a mile. Well, you're holding the reins for a deadly community up there. That's all my country up there, Mornington Island, Doomadgee. So thank you, my sister, and congratulations once again, First Nation Law of the Year. Your mum, Delwyn's pretty excited about your win.
Yeah, she's very excited. my whole family, so, you can
and Grandma Marcel Murger as well.
Hey?
Grandma Marcel Murger.
Oh, yes, my grandmother. Look, we had tears of joy yesterday. I came back from Brisbane and
yes.
Went over to Yarrabah and saw all the families, my aunties and uncles and the cousins. And everyone was just all in tears, crying with, tears of joy. And
you see how you go? You see how you do?
Yeah.
Big note so in your crack?
I got to stop doing that,
I'm
upsetting a lot of people.
You keep doing it, my sister, leading from the front. Beautiful yarning with you. Thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out. Good morning, Yarrabah. Too deadly. Represent. And you keep doing what you're doing up there at Mornington Island too, my sister.
Well,
and we'll yarn soon,
sis? Yeah, thank you, Brother Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Deadly yarn there, and that's Nikita Sullen, and First Nation Lawyer of the Year. And, she's over there at Mornington Island, up at Yarrabah at the moment after celebrating. And Mum Delwyn, Sullen, very excited. Also, and Grandmother Marcel Muga. So, too deadly. Thank you, Annie Gwen DML Hall, for recognising and acknowledging that. And I made the yarn on radio. Off air, you told me about it, so I mentioned it. And so happens, Delwyn Sullen, that's Nikita's mother, rang us and got in touch with Nikita to have that yarn. So congratulations. Winners at Rinners, too deadly, and representing her mob in that field. So it's come to time with Trendy Trev signs off here with today's program, National Talk Black, one-hour program. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yindinji country. Thank you very much for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And with that beautiful sister winning the award, and her beautiful mother and grandmother and auntie there listening, let's go to Natasha Aldridge, take you up to the news. Because of her, we can. How true is that? Too deadly, mob. One love.